Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to episode 323 of See You Next Wednesday, a film and pop culture podcast where a single die decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on December 20th, 2018. Mm-hmm. My name is Dan Gorman, and I was just about to tell an awesome story about a wing-eating contest that I lost and a barfing contest I won.
My name is Casey Lyons, and you want to know the juice goose, I'll lay it down real thick, put some feathers on it, bucket up your bums. Here we go.
Oh, man. I guess that's the episode then. My name is Greg LeGros.
The silent majesty of a winter's morn, the clean, cool chill of the holiday air. An asshole in his bathrobe emptying a chemical toilet into my sewer.
Oh, we have tons of stuff to talk about this week. Apparently, there's some cool Spider-Man movie that I guess is getting good reviews. I don't know. I've never heard of it. Mm-hmm. But there's also a movie called Miss Claus.
Is it Mrs. or Ms.?
Oh, she's not married. Interesting.
Mrs. Claus.
Mrs.?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Maybe that's why it's a horror movie. The marriage ended.
Yeah.
Everything went down.
Yeah. Listen, let me tell you, if you think it's actually her in this movie and not just a person, you'll be sorely disappointed.
You mean like it's an actor?
No, like
I assumed.
If you think
I figured it wasn't actually Mrs. Yeah. Claus.
No, she's pretty busy this time of year.
If you think the titular Mrs. Claus is actually a character in this movie, you will be sorely disappointed.
Yeah. All right.
That really bums me out.
So we're going to talk about that stuff. We'll talk about an album. We'll roll for movies next week. If you'd like to talk to us, you can email us at info@modernsuperior.com. You can rate and review us on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at SYNWPC and tell everybody you know about the show. How's it going, guys?
Going so good.
Yeah. Christmas almost here.
Oh, man.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who has the time these days?
I know.
I don't know.
Right?
I got so much Christmas shopping done early. It was unbelievable.
I'm so behind.
A lot of my stuff done early, but then...
I'm so behind.
Yeah, I got... There's a couple things that really snuck up on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas. Yeah, I still got a bunch of stuff.
That's the main thing. It's Christmas and the responsibilities therein.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You guys watching the movies?
Yeah.
The Christmas films?
And eating the food? And,
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been really lax or not lax, but like I haven't had a lot of time to do any movie watching anyway. So
yeah.
I haven't even hit a lot of the big ones. Haven't done Mickey's Christmas Carol yet.
Neither
have I.
Haven't
done Christmas Vacation yet.
Yeah.
I just did Christmas Vacation,
nice.
And I've seen Mickey's Christmas Carol like 50 times in the last week.
Oh, it's a lovely, lovely
It's good.
Set.
It's an easy one to just have on over and over and over. It's great. most of the year I've been watching my diet, eating the right things, trying to be healthy. All of that has extremely gone out the window over the last 3 weeks, maybe more, and I'm officially holiday fat guy. Eating a lot of jelly beans.
Nice. Jelly beans are good.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting
that.
I
like jelly beans. It's,
I feel I'm quite ambivalent towards jelly beans.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I like the texture. It's a good time. I separate the colors and eat the, you know, so you don't just get a wash of who knows what.
Yeah.
And so...
You like to separate them and regiment them.
Yeah.
You're a lot of fun, Greg.
Yeah, it's a nice time. You're watching something. I've been getting mostly the generic flavored, just regular jelly beans, because Zoe likes them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting like the fancy flavors, because she's not like going to... Ooh, coffee. You know,
Ooh, is this avocado toast?
Yeah, and I can't believe they still have black ones.
Yeah.
No, like, no one likes it.
Some people do.
Do you like the black one?
I like the black one.
I don't... He didn't do nothing.
The people that like it love...
Well,
love
now, yeah, here's the thing. I don't mind... If I eat the black one completely separate from all the other flavors, fine. It's just so different from everything else, because the other ones,
it really
is jarring.
If you
throw them all in your mouth, who cares, whatever, but if you throw one black one and you have like a green and a red, they're all, you might as well just not have them.
Yeah. It's so like, dominant. It's like everything else is fruit flavored, and then this one is like asphalt.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I can't think of any other product where you are forced to have one part of it be terrible. It's not like you buy a bouquet of flowers and one of them smells like a butthole, you know? Like, nice. Oh,
yeah.
No, the butthole's in there. Oh, well, you can't not have it.
Whose butthole is this? I didn't pay for this.
I don't know why it's like, or why we just accept it.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a brand of jelly bean who's like, no black one. Well, I don't think you want to display it like that.
No, I don't know.
Maybe rethink the packaging.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, if they're licorice, we don't have the gross one you don't like.
Yeah.
You'd be the dominant jelly bean.
Yeah.
Conglomerate.
The thing is, though, the people that like licorice love it so much. Because
it's fucking delicious as hell.
Yeah, I'm the kind of guy like that. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Don't understand what I mean.
You soon will. We're Canadian, so that was obligatory.
No, like, I'm closer to Greg, but I do enjoy licorice sometimes. And again, it has to be on its own.
Yeah.
I'll eat one, and then...
I will put them all aside, and then later,
slowly
if I feel
work
like
through
it,
them.
I will eat those. Yeah. But usually I just throw them away.
What about those licorice all sorts? How do you guys feel about those?
What?
I will
licorice
eat...
Licorice all sorts?
Oh, love those.
Do
great.
You?
Yeah, they're great.
That's so weird.
I don't want to like a lot of them.
Yeah.
I will go overboard with them, and then I'll eat that one too many, and I will be so...
My thing is I hate so everything sick. In those mixes except for the chewy ones with the little dots
with
on
the little
them.
Dot, with the hard
I
little
fucking
dots.
I fucking love those. Yeah.
Those ones are an enigma.
Yeah. I like that you can just get those on their own at the bulk barn. I'll just do that.
No.
Yeah.
No,
hell yeah.
Fuck
I don't like those
noise.
Weird sandwiches with the little like...
Oh, I love those weird sandwiches.
Or whatever like the fuck it is.
What is that?
Yeah.
So no one even know what the flavor is.
No. It's like, no, that is the great thing. They are all of indeterminate flavor. Wonderful colors.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely pastel pinks and yellows.
I don't mind the ones that are like the like wheels with like the...
Yeah.
It's like a nib in the center and
sure,
a wheel.
Sure.
I don't mind those. But the sandwichy ones are something I don't know, like.
Oh, I love them. I think they're all just great.
Yeah. I was eating some... I did get some of the fancy jelly beans the other day, but I threw the packaging away, so I didn't know what all they... You know, like, whatever.
Popcorn.
It became very hard to separate because it's a very slight difference between, you know, popcorn and pina colada.
Yeah.
And there was one in there. I can't figure it out. I don't know. I threw the package. It's gone, so I can't figure it out. But it looked a lot like the watermelon. It's a dark green, and it literally tasted like dirt. I don't know what...
Well, don't they have
they
those...
They might have accidentally...
They do have
those ones
I didn't buy that
fool you. They taste like fucking farts. And
Yeah. It's it comes with a little wheel, and you spin it, and somebody has to eat, you know, when it tastes like shit.
Sure, yeah.
It wasn't that, because there was only the one weird one in there, and every time I got to it, I was like, fuck. Not watermelon.
But you cannot eat it just in case.
I know, but then you just eat it fast. Like,
I gotta do this, but I gotta do it fast.
Spit it out.
No.
What else are you gonna do?
Oh, that would be crazy.
Yeah. I better eat this really fast.
Yeah. Get to my water. Because
I hate it.
I do like a jelly bean.
Yeah. Jelly bean's good.
I'll eat a jelly bean. Mm-hmm. I got nothing against them.
Like the fancy. Like, I do like the ones that are more like Jelly Bellies. The like standard old style
jelly
beans.
The gourmet
jelly
bean is
pretty
diamond.
Boring.
I don't know.
Have a question for
They're
you.
Okay.
Do you guys know what Misty Mints are?
No.
Is it like those kind of like Scotch mint kind of things?
No, they're like these little like pastel colored mints, and they're like this, and they're like
the pink and white, or
they're like pastel-y colors, but they're
like sort of like a Valentine's
they're like yellow
heart
and
sort of
green and pastel colors. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And they're like, but
they're kind of chalky. They're kind of
But no, they're not chalky. They're like
hard candy.
They're almost like a chocolatey kind of a situation. I think I'm remembering this from when I was.
Are they kind of like little droplets?
Little droplets.
Oh hell yeah, I know those. They look like chocolate chips.
Yeah.
Shape. But they're different colors and they're kind of minty and sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had those.
Where do you get those?
I don't know.
I remember them.
Bulk Barn. I don't know.
Can I?
Yeah.
Don't fuck with
me. I'm pretty sure.
Because I remember those from when I was a kid and I thought that they were very delicious. Yeah. And then now I haven't thought about them in 48 years. Uh-huh. And then now all of a sudden I'm like, hey, remember those guys?
I've been having the same thing. I can't find. You remember Cherry Blasters?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Where the fuck do you get Cherry Blasters?
Bulk
Cherry
Barn, Blaster. Man. I see them at Bulk Barn all
do
the time.
You?
Yeah.
Well, you've spent a lot of time at Bulk
There's
Barn.
There's a Bulk Barn across from my work, and some lunch hours everything. I'm like, I guess I'm going to eat candy.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is literally the most Dan Gorman sentence I have ever heard. Yeah.
Well, I'll be like, guess I'm going to go buy some candy.
Yeah. Well, guess it's candy for lunch. Again.
Yeah. Whoops. And by whoops, I mean I'm doing it because I want to.
And by whoops, I mean I planned this out the night before.
Did you guys ever... So, like, when I was younger, my parents had those little, like, After 8 sticks that came with a little slip on them, like their own individually packaged thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever have the memory of that being, like... Oh, you're not supposed to eat them? Because we had them in like a bowl and it was like, those are for the adults.
Yeah, because they're expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like they dressed candy up to be not fun.
Yeah. I used to get in trouble because I would eat all the sticks out of it and then leave the little sleeves to be like, then no one will know. And they'd be like,
nice.
Where's all the candy? Fucking Dan did it again.
But I remember, like, I know this, but like the sticks for me were like second wave After 8s because I remember the little tablets.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what I remember. Yeah. I like the little tablets better than I like the sticks.
Agreed. The sticks are like,
I don't know. I like the sticks.
Yeah.
Something about them. Have you ever stirred your coffee or something with one of those?
I think I have.
Some
but
good shit. No, I was a child.
Yeah. You ever put that in your spiced rum as a child? Christmas memories.
Yeah.
I mean, vague memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just remember those being, they're always up on a shelf away and they're for the adults and was like, candy, but now, not fun.
Yeah.
But that's what I remember. I remember thinking, like, I remember aspiring to that.
Yeah.
To that level of
success.
Candy maturity.
Yeah.
I haven't reached it yet.
Yeah. Oh man,
there's another candy. I don't know. This isn't fucking candy talk. I don't know what my deal
it's
is.
Pretty good,
every
though.
Once
it's pretty
in a while,
fun.
It is though.
Like I'm really in that zone right now.
Was there any non-candy news you wanted to talk about?
There's some news. I think
is there news.
I feel like the biggest news to me is the additions to. I'm
Star
pretty
Wars
much
show?
All about the Mandalorian right now.
That's almost the only news that's coming out, really.
Yeah, but it's the fucking best. So they've definitely Pedro. Shit, Pedro. He's in there. He's in there real good. You got Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yep.
Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Hell yeah.
Werner fucking Herzog.
That's so good.
It's Star Wars canon now.
I love it.
Love it.
I really am looking forward to purchasing a Werner Herzog action
figure.
Oh
my God. Yes, please. Yeah, that's going to be good.
Yeah.
Just implores R2-D2 not to play that tape.
Who were you saying was announced as characters that were going to be in it today?
Giancarlo Esposito is also in it, which is fucking dope.
Yeah.
Bosk and IG-88.
Yeah. Who are like characters that never said anything in any movie.
They were just characters
super
that...
dope designs and great action figures.
Yeah, like they stood there, but you definitely, if you don't know IG-88, you know Bosk. Like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. Like, because you sort of associate him, obviously, with Boba Fett because they're
one
they're
of the
bounty
hunters. Yeah.
And this is going to be set in sort of on the home planet of Boba Fett. So, mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see them. I really want to see them, their characters fleshed out.
Yeah.
See what they can do with them.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Go use these, you know, they made action figures out of fucking everything back then, which was kind of the joke. Or, you know, but people like, these people didn't even do anything in the movie, but there's a toy. But now it's like, now you have all these things. Well, you can do something with them because nothing was ever done with them. There's literally like 30 fucking action figures from, you know, 77 to 83 that didn't do anything in the movies.
Yeah. And
so
people
give them
life
go nuts.
Now. I had Hammerhead.
You have great designs already. Absolutely.
Fucking get him in there.
Yeah,
get
his. He sits at a bar.
Yeah.
That's what he did. That's the only thing we know about the character. Go ahead and do something.
And he has such a great head. Like, I don't know why he didn't do more. Fucking super great head on that guy. Best I can say about him.
Nice. Yeah.
I mean, I imagine there was a limited amount that they could do with them because of that head.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's neat. There's a whole bunch of stuff they could do.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Ooh. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Why not?
I did see that there is a new trailer out. I haven't seen the trailer, but there's a new Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
Directed by Neil Marshall of The Descent, Dog Soldiers, Doomsday. Yeah.
There's a trailer?
There's a trailer out as of like a couple hours ago, I feel like.
Get the fuck out.
So we can talk about that more next time.
Yeah.
No, let's stop and watch it right now.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we just literally watched it seconds ago.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of opinions about Hellboy.
Nor do I.
Like, in the sense of, like, is it going to look right or does it, like, feel right or whatever? But I like Neil Marshall and I think... I'm probably most excited that the idea that, like, he's going to do something that has more action in it again. I didn't really watch. He directed that Lost in Space show. He did a lot of directing on Westworld. But, like, I like Doomsday. Like, Doomsday's a fun, wild movie. And some of it sucks, but some of it's good. And
absolutely.
And in that trailer, there were some action scenes where I was like, oh, watch, he'll watch him do some action.
Yeah. And Dog Soldiers and The Descent are fucking perfect.
So good.
Yeah. That Hellboy trailer we just watched was just okay.
I'm surprised how much it just sort of looked a lot like what didn't work for Guillermo del Toro.
except for one glaring omission, which is Ron Perlman as Hellboy, which I feel like is the only person who should play Hellboy.
Yeah.
I like David Harbour
for
a lot.
Sure.
He's a big scary man and everything, but like, I don't know. I just kept noticing how he's not Ron Perlman.
I like the two Hellboy movies. They're good. They're not great.
I like the first one more than the second.
So I was kind of, I don't even know anymore. There's things I liked a lot about the second one. But I don't know. I was surprised that it looked so much like those.
Yeah.
Because obviously those didn't really light up the box office, and there's a reason why they didn't finish making more of them. I'm sort of surprised this is the same tone.
Yeah, and surprising.
There is a darker tone you can do based on the Mignola's comics.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like I saw some reaction on the internet, and I think I saw a couple people saying, like, oh, it's like Hellpool. It's like they're trying to do it like a little bit more like Deadpool.
I feel like that trailer thought it was funnier than it was. And I was like, maybe, I don't know if we have to rely on so many one-liners and stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's what they're doing right now because of Deadpool. But
yeah,
I don't know. It looked all right.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. I'm more attached to the, like, oh, I'll see what the director is doing as opposed to like the content.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We'll see. You know what? Maybe they're trying to just get people comfortable with familiarity right now.
But that is a weird thing, though. Like, they didn't want to make another one of the previous movies, but they'll just make a new one.
Yeah.
So, like, aren't the same people that weren't going to go to the last two just not going to go to this one?
Yeah,
or is it because
yeah.
they're now, maybe they see the market after Deadpool
if they don't
and that stuff?
If they
don't
drastically remarket this in the coming months, I would wager this makes less money than either of the last two Hellboy movies.
I don't know.
Especially on opening week.
Yeah.
Unless it gets huge like Buzz, but I feel like it'll be just like people just look at this as a part three without the guy.
Yeah, like, you know? I would be really interested in what people that don't care about the other movies think about this. Are they seeing this trailer and being like, oh, yeah, wasn't there already a movie? Like,
totally.
What?
Totally.
Yeah.
This is like RoboCop 3 or, you know. It's like, yeah, we don't got the guy no more, but you just like the suit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Marshall's a very talented director. Yeah. He's got a lot to offer a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, I don't know.
I even liked Centurion. That was a pretty,
yeah, there's things
good
to like
movie.
About that.
Yeah.
That's his weakest, I'd yeah. say. But it's still good.
Yeah-ish.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I think I just liked it more that because it looked exactly like the kind of movie I don't give a fuck about. Like, all right,
yeah, yeah.
they're running around. Yeah, like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It took me forever to finally watch it because I was looking at the movie.
Yeah,
the poster,
being like,
I'm
like, I don't want to watch this.
This isn't my thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I hate this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it's good.
Yeah.
Centurion, not bad.
Do you guys have any things you've been watching?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah?
I watched Dumplin'.
Oh, I also watched Dumplin'.
Yeah.
This is a Netflix film?
That's right.
Yeah?
Yeah. Jennifer Aniston?
Yep.
And I don't know the young lady's names who star in it.
Danielle McDonald.
Right, she's the lead.
And she was also in a movie I talked about on the show called Patty Cakes.
Right. Did you like Patty Cakes?
I
remember.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it got pretty good.
It wasn't amazing, but
I
did like
it,
and she was really good.
She's very good.
Yeah.
So she's an overweight person whose mom is a pageant queen and, mm-hmm. you know, and it's Texas and there you go. And it's a bit of some coming of age. It's a little bit of dealing with, you know, social scrutinies. And it's nothing new about the story, but I don't care. I really liked this movie.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I 100% agree. Like when I was done watching the movie, it was like, that movie follows all the beats that you know it's going to follow.
Totally.
This is exactly the movie that you're getting on the tin. It says, you know, it's just that kind of movie where, you know, at the end of the movie, who's going to win and what happens. Yeah. You know what's going to happen.
But I liked how they handled the end, too. I did, too. And I feel like stories like this that are about feeling like an outsider and like not being able to change things about yourself necessarily I don't think there's anything wrong with retelling those stories over and over.
I agree.
It's not like every 14-year-old out there who feels that way has seen every other fucking movie that's like this. So
I thought the same thing.
You have to keep making these. It's really good for people who are, you know, under the age of 20.
Oh, 100%. Like, the
or
movie
older.
Has the, like, you get the hot guy and everything's perfect. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Because, like, I want that.
Dynamite, Dolly Parton soundtrack through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Aniston was great.
She's really good in it.
Because her character could have easily been a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think
she did
that's
a really
good
job.
That's what is really good about this movie is that a lot of those characters that could have just been that cartoon or that, like there's a character in this movie who's, like, lying to her mom about what she's doing, and that could have been very easily, like, I'm putting the hammer down, I'm the villain of the movie for you.
Right.
And it's really not. It's about people coming together and there's just a lot of kind of heartwarming, you know, turns to it.
Yeah, and then get Harold Perrineau in there. Who doesn't like that? Danielle McDonald, is that her name, right?
Yeah.
She's great.
So good.
Boy, is she fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about her performance a lot, and I thought it was so good. And I really hope, like, this will get her a lot of exposure because it's on Netflix, and it's quite good and has good word of mouth. I hope they just let her be an actress and not be an actress that
has
all
to be,
of her roles are about weight.
Yeah.
Because just let her act.
Yeah.
She's really good. Just let that be. I would love to see that just finally happen where it just like,
totally.
Just let the person now be a fucking actor.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really liked it. I loved the stuff where they go to the bar with the with the drag performers.
Yeah,
and I think maybe the only thing.
Yeah, Ginger Minj.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of movies now. I forgot to mention in my review of Star Is Born, a bunch of Drag Race people are in that too.
Yeah,
and it's just neat to see them like turning up in all this shit now.
Yeah, I think the worst thing about Dumplin' was that I think like it dragged a little bit. Like, it was maybe, like, 10 minutes where I started to feel like the last 10 minutes, I'm like, okay, it's a little long.
Yeah, like, but I know how we're going to wind up here, so.
But if that's the worst thing about your charming, fun, heartwarming movie.
Yeah. With great performances and funny parts. Yeah. Great.
It's really good. It's one of the better Netflix movies. Because I think it fits in that really good pocket of, like what we're saying. Like, it functions as that kind of, like, crowd-pleasing movie where at the end you get to walk out with, like, a good feeling.
Yeah.
But then it's also... like, really good.
Yeah. It's well shot.
Yeah.
The dialogue is decent.
You know,
and performances are great, like,
totally.
Across the board. Everyone's very good in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should definitely watch Dumplin'.
Dumplin'. Have
it's
a nice
wonderful.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casey, what have you been watching?
Well, I watched Home Alone.
Yeah.
I guess it's a Christmas movie, I guess.
Yep.
So you might as well 100%. Watch that. And it's a Christmas movie everybody absolutely loves, except mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to watch it again, just be like, hey, maybe it's better than I remember yeah. it being. And it isn't.
No, it is.
It's fine.
It's good.
It's fine.
It's wonderful.
Yeah,
it's,
no one's saying it's like a brilliant movie. It's a fun no. movie to watch at Christmas.
But it's not a classic. It's a clunky kind of like, he's a charming kid and does a couple of fun things when the van almost hits him. He's very, very funny when he goes, ah! Yeah,
that's what you're there.
Funny.
That's what you're there for.
Yeah, but that rears that rears thin.
All right. I love it.
I think you're
I like the stuff with the guy down the street. Yeah. I love all that. I don't know. I love it.
Yeah, John Candy turns up in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and he's John Candy, so yeah, he's yeah. fucking lovable as hell. Yeah, but yeah. then
and he
also
knows
is
that just saying
like,
Sheboygan is yeah. funny.
He knows that him just saying Sheboygan is funny. He knows that everything he does is funny. So yeah, he shows up and he's great. But I don't think I like a movie that makes Catherine O'Hara, that gives her nothing to do. Like, she's not fun or anything. And I'm like, she's a brilliant comedian.
She gets some good moments.
It's fine.
I love it.
If you're putting together a big boy bed and you need something in the background.
Yeah.
Put it on.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a nice time. It's a fun movie to watch at Christmas.
Yeah.
Ugh. You're mean to it.
Well, I'm not like, again, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I just feel like. People go like, oh, you know, this.
Well, it's
because
they grew up with it.
Yeah. You know? I do think that that's probably one of those ones where it's like harder to come to it later.
Yeah, for sure.
It's hard because like.
Because you're not a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know if I grew up with it so much.
No, you and I are like right on the cusp of being
edge,
too old
yeah.
for it. But I just kind of gave
right
into it being enjoyable. And it's been on every Christmas. So now I just associate it with having a good time at Christmas. Yeah. It is like a clunky, stupid movie. And there's a million ways that the problems could be solved throughout the film. But
as opposed to a kid trying to murder a couple of people and also then trying to murder a kid.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point is that it's a silly, cartoony kind of a thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I quite enjoy Pesci and Stern together.
Yeah, yeah. They're both good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
nice
fair.
You'll watch it again next year. It'll
I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
Like Amios loves it.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yeah,
that's fine. Dan. I watched a movie from this year called Blindspotting.
Oh yeah, you told us to watch it. You were a real bully about it.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. I loved it. It's directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada. It was written by the two main cast members, Rafael Casal and David Diggs. And basically, it's about this guy named Colin who is on his final 3 days of probation. He's trying to kind of start his life again, and he has this childhood friend named Miles, and they work together as movers. And Colin witnesses a police officer shoot a black man. And from there, it kind of spirals into this. That kind of makes it sound like it's going to be more about like, oh, the cop saw me and it's going to be a thriller or whatever. But it's more of like a buddy comedy about these two guys who are at a crossroads in their life. And his friend is kind of a troublemaker and kind of street savvy and is being pulled in one direction. He wants to kind of like get through his last days of probation and kind of, you know, get his life in order. And meanwhile, their neighborhood is kind of gentrifying all the while. And it's really, really good and really funny and builds to a really, really great final act. Really powerful. But it is the kind of movie where there's a certain thing that they do throughout the movie where they're, I don't know how much I want to give away of it, but there's a thing that they kind of, a sort of device that they lean on that I feel like will be a make or break thing for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'll say. But I thought it was really, really good. Some of this movie I think is the best movie of the year. Mm. I think overall it's just really great. And I definitely think Blindspotting.
Right.
I think it was really, really good. And
cool.
People should check it out.
I will check it out.
Yeah, I'll Blind Spotting.
Where do I know David Diggs? Is he a, what's his whole deal?
Let's see. I don't have any internet.
Mm.
Oh, here it is. He has been in. He was a voice in Zootopia, in Ferdinand. Something about potentially Hamilton related.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I feel like I know his name.
He was in
from
Tour de Pharmacy.
People go on about Hamilton.
Did you see Tour de Pharmacy?
I saw part of Tour de Pharmacy.
Yeah, he was in that as well, I believe. Blind Spotting is
that's fine.
Really good. You should check it out.
Cool.
Yeah, really, really good. What else?
Hmm?
What else, guys?
What else? I went out to the theaters.
Nice.
And saw Creed 2.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
I was excited to see that.
Yeah.
Quite liked Creed. Was
been hearing a lot of good things about
very
Creed
good.
Too.
Super surprising how good Creed was. And
yeah.
Really got Oscar attention, which is great. So, sequel. No,
got to see it.
Not the same director, but we got a lot of
oh,
the same
wait,
people
it's
involved.
Not?
No, it's not.
I thought it was Ryan Coogler.
No, he's too busy with the Black Panther stuff. Get the anyway. I don't even remember who directed it. Somebody.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I was a little like, I was definitely excited to see it, hoping for good. And
yeah,
but it's easy to let these things kind of.
Yeah, I'm kind of intentionally waiting because I don't want to. I did like Creed a lot,
yeah,
but I don't want to kind of like overhype it. So when this hits like rental, I'll rent it and
yeah.
Hopefully enjoy it.
Well, let me tell you will because
yeah?
It's great.
Okay,
I had a great time. It's like. It's not amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Creed was pretty amazing, but it's quite good because Michael B. Jordan is still fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Tessa Thompson is fucking awesome. Stallone is just very, very good at playing Rocky.
Yeah.
And I like this new way he plays Rocky. You know, it's well adapted. What's really interesting and, like, fun about this is kind of more of a Rocky sequel than anything else.
I've heard
the Creed story is super important and great, and he has a huge journey, which is really good. But this movie does a little bit of Rocky 2,
yeah,
a little bit of Rocky 3,
yeah,
and kind of like retcons Rocky 4.
Yeah.
Not like it changes the content, but Rocky 4 is insane, right? Like it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
It's so fucking bananas. I love it.
Yeah.
But it's so
out there, yeah.
It's so silly and yeah. Out of fucking control. It is out of control. That movie is on too much coke.
Yeah.
So they humanize Rocky 4. Because Drago's in this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wait, his, what? Really?
Yeah. Totally, yeah. The main fight is Creed versus Drago's son. And if you remember
oh,
Rocky
yeah.
Four.
Fight. But Dolph Lundgren is up in this?
Dolph Lundgren's
yeah.
In this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I
so good. And he
Dolph
killed
Lundgren.
Creed's dad
right, yeah.
In the fucking ring. And it's great. Like, and it was as soon as he popped up on screen, and like, and you're like, you're but it, they're taking
the
this...
way I pictured that. By the way, pretty good.
Yeah. It was because they're like the way the movie shot, the way your tone is going when he's revealed on screen. It's like no small thing. You're like, oh, fucking Drago. Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And it's great, and they humanize him too. But they still like he's still extremely intimidating. You
yeah.
Know? Like, which that's one thing that was effective in Rocky IV at least is he just seemed completely unbeatable.
Yeah.
He's so big and anyway, and his son, the actor who plays his son, is a monster. He's a really, really
not
big
literally.
Dude. He's a good actor, too, and he's clearly a fighter. Knows how to, you know, like, looks... Like, the boxing is so much more legit-looking in these movies than it was in, you know, Rocky 3 and 4. And, yeah, it's a good... So, it's a bit of Rocky 2, bit of Rocky 3, and a lot of Rocky 4, but all handled, like, pretty well, and still having time to give Adonis Creed his own story.
Nice.
Which is great. And, yeah, it's a good time.
I'm going to watch it.
I got all the emotional lifts I wanted from a good boxing movie. I like how they kind of, like, they use a lot of this, the age-old Rocky story designs, but they kind of twist them a little bit. Enough that when I was like, oh, okay. Thanks for
nice.
That little, like, update on this idea. That's
yeah.
Good. So, yeah, it was a good time. I
nice.
Strongly recommend. Stallone said he's done playing Rocky, and that's great. And this is a nice final
oh,
Rocky for him. And so there's a couple of moments of, like, every once in a while, Stallone, because he co-wrote the film, he really hits some dialogue, super fucking nice, always for Rocky. He just like knows how to write that character and really deliver it. And there's a couple of lines and deliveries. I was like, fucking beauty.
I'm interested.
Thanks for Rocky.
What's he going to do after this? Is he going to keep acting?
There's another Rambo movie coming.
Oh, there's another Rambo movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, I really hope he doesn't, now that he's built back this, like, goodwill of co-writing these movies and being involved in these, and then, like, just have a repeat of what happened before and, like, spiral out into some other...
Well, I mean, like, honestly...
Baloney.
I think there's enough, like, there'll be another, there's going to be another Rambo. But, I mean, he already kind of did that. Because, like, he rode his way back in with Rocky Balboa, which was so much better than it had any fucking business being. And he got himself back in the conversation. But then there was misfires, but no one cares anymore.
Yeah.
Like, Bullet to the Head was terrible.
Terrible.
Escape Plan with Schwarzenegger.
It was terrible. Those are both fucking terrible, but they were fun to watch.
True Bullet in the Head is not Escape even was very fun.
Escape Plan was more fun to watch.
Far more fun to watch. And there's a sequel to that.
I keep seeing
it. No Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
But Stallone's in the sequel.
I keep seeing it like around. I mean, I'm not gonna like, watch and that. I'm going to press play, but then I don't.
I only made it through like half a Bullet to the Head. So like he's had these like turds come out too, but they're still... I mean, he got an Oscar nomination again, you know, out of Creed 2, the first Creed movie. So
did
it's
he?
Like, yeah, he was up for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Second, I don't even think he's the only actor I can think of that's been nominated twice for the same role.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, neat. And it's a good time. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You know, see in theater, wait for video, but it's worth your time.
Yeah, I'll watch it for sure.
Super worth your time. Boy, is Michael B. Jordan something.
Yeah.
Boy, is he something.
Yeah. I've been meaning to watch the Rocky movies, but every time I go to put it on, Emma's like, I don't like those movies. And I was like, even the first one, the first one's great. And she was like, no, it's bad. And I was like, I don't know if you've seen Rocky. I'm like, are you remembering correctly?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like Jaws, like where the first one is amazing and then all the sequels are hilariously stupid.
It's like, I don't know. First one's pretty great.
Like, yeah, you gotta want they're separate things.
Yeah.
When I used to put movies on in the bar back in the day, I would not put on Jaws 1 or Rocky 1. I'd play all the sequels because, like, if somebody comes up and started talking shit, I would get like, emotionally angry. Like, you gotta understand, the first ones are great.
Oh, Jaws, was this a shark?
Get the fuck out of here.
That is a sweet argument, though. What
That's
is that,
the kind
a
of
shark?
Argument a drunk person would make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know it's true.
Yeah.
Casey, anything else you've been watching?
Yeah, real quick. I watched a movie... you know, obviously, Filipino movies are very big in my house, because there are so
other
many
places too.
You know, one place, for instance, the Philippines.
Yeah.
They love them there. Which is a lot of people in my house are Filipino. So, we watched, well, actually just my house and I, we watched a movie. It was a big movie in the Philippines called By Bust, B-U-I-B-U-S-T. And I can basically just sum it up. Like, remember The Raid Redemption?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of, but in the Philippines, in like this little kind of drug dealer compound. But to much lesser effect.
Oh. Right.
I was really excited about this movie because there's a crazy war on drugs going on in the Philippines
right now. Yeah, it's bananas.
Fucking crazy. Like, their president, like, the American president is a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is a fucking maniac.
Yeah, he is terrifying.
Yeah, like a terrifying maniac.
Yeah.
So I was excited. I was like, oh, man, this is going to be a really cool action movie with the, you know, the backdrop of...
Yeah.
And the movie kind of touches on, says a couple of things, you know, about the war on drugs. But I thought it was going to be, you know, like really interesting in that regard. And it was basically just like... It was like The Raid Redemption without the really cool fights.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not terrible. It's a fun watch, but yeah, after a while, just kind of like you've seen The Raid Redemption.
Yeah.
And the thing about Filipino movies is that I love, my favorite Filipino movies are actually their, romantic comedies because Filipino people are, and this is a, you know, huge generalization, really, really sweet and kind and wonderful people. And the best example of that on film is them being really sweet and kind and wonderful. Mm. And that's what I find so endearing. So, like, an action movie almost rings a little bit false to me, which is, you know, I mean, I'm not the fucking arbiter of what Filipino people do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was kind of like, I don't feel like this is how...
Like it doesn't fit the climate of culture that you're familiar with?
Yeah,
like when we had that fucking... This is very different, but like having that Flashpoint TV show. Remember that?
It's not different.
Toronto's SWAT team. Yeah. Fucking every week there's this like a crazy thing going, no, I live here. There's no.
Yeah. It's exactly that.
Once a decade, these guys do something. Yeah. You know?
Canadian people are by and large a docile and nice people. And a vastly multicultural people that are all, for the most part, getting along pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So to have, like, some crazy, SWAT, crazy, I'm going to smash through a window and shoot everybody. We don't have that many bullets. So, yeah, same thing. I want to see Canadians be silly on television and Filipino people be sweethearts.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. Buy bust.
Yeah.
Yeah. See it or don't. I don't give a fuck. No, actually, see it and rent it and put a lot of money into the Filipino film community so that they can make more movies.
Yeah. My last one that I'll talk about is a film called Leave No Trace. This is directed by Deborah Granick, who did Winter's Bone and stars Ben Foster. And is also stars Thomas McKenzie.
Yeah.
So this is about a father and his daughter who's, I think, around like 13. And they live in this big park in Portland, Oregon. They're like homeless. But they live in like a tent and they have this like existence in the woods where they keep completely away from everybody in society and they don't want to be seen. They don't want to be found. They're basically just like foraging for food and building fires and just like existing in this
really
big
intentionally
public park.
Live this way, or they've been strict. Is this like that Viggo Mortensen movie?
They intentionally live this way.
Okay.
When the movie opens, you don't really know how long it's been.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time as far as we know. And they both seem to get along and enjoy it the way that they live. Mm. So they kind of seem like they don't want to be found. And something happens, and they are found out, and they get kind of brought in to the city and sort of set up with this, like, you know, kind of foster house sort of situation where they kind of are forced back into society, basically.
Right.
And so the whole movie is just about this kind of relationship between the two. He has PTSD from the war, so he's struggling with that. She's struggling with, like, I'm being reintegrated into society and I'm a teenager and I kind of like it. And so now we're starting to get at odds with each other. And it becomes this kind of like series of sort of, you know, American life as they kind of travel around from place to place because they end up running away. But where the movie ends up, I thought was fucking amazing and emotional, and I thought the end of this movie was incredible, and it's definitely one of my favorite movies of the year.
Wow.
Easily. And I think the director, Deborah, who directed Winter's Bone, I think it's such a perfect movie for her, and it's the kind of movie that I feel like, I don't know, it seems weird to say this, but like I feel like a man could not have directed this movie, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I feel like the relationships with the teenage daughter and the women she comes across and how focused the movie is on her experience. And his arc is like a really great arc and really emotional too, because he's got some shit that he's going through. But he's also kind of dragging her through like a terrible situation. He's basically like she's obviously trying to make her own decisions on whether or not she wants to like stay with her dad or does she want to live in society. And, but like, he's put her in this scenario where he's taken her into the woods and been like, this is our life now. So like, that's kind of fucked up. So there's a lot like to wrestle with. And yeah, I fucking loved this movie. And awesome. I just thought,
what's it called again?
It's called Leave No Trace. Mm-hmm. And I just thought where this movie ends up. It reminded me of Wendy and Lucy, the movie with Michelle Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Where you spend so much time with these characters in such a slow kind of methodical movie. And it's a lot of like the first chunk of the movie is a lot of just following them through like processes like, okay, we're going to go get our food. And now we're going to cook it and we're going to talk. And then we're going to like get the water and we're going to hang the thing to sleep under tonight. And so by the time you get to the end of the movie where like a decision has to be made by one of these characters, you are so fully like in the world of their mind and emotions and how their emotions are affecting the decisions they're making that you are just so like, whoa, like I'm realizing these decisions as the character's doing it. Like the end of Wendy and Lucy, where she has to decide what she's going to do with her dog. You've spent this whole movie with her. You're realizing that the choice she has to make as her character is, and then you just want to fucking bawl your eyes out because it's like, I'm realizing this. Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. So I felt like this movie had that kind of thing to it where by the end of the movie, decisions are being made and you're like right there with it. And yeah, I loved it.
Or like you spend a lot of time with characters in one environment and then yeah. like the world comes crashing in.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enemy Mine.
Yeah.
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 Is this movie better or worse than Enemy Mine?
Is any movie better than Enemy Mine? Yeah. I loved Enemy Mine.
Yeah.
No,
it's not at all a boring slog.
No.
Where
it's like 2 hours or some shit.
Dennis Quaid and Lou Gossett Jr.
have a baby.
Raising a baby together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait. It's exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Zaris!
Check out Leave No Trace. Ben Foster, I mean, he's great.
Yeah,
he usually is really great in movies. Thomas McKenzie, the young woman in this film, is fucking incredible. Mm. Yeah, I loved it.
I'll watch that as soon as possible.
So good. What else? Any other films?
We watched Jingle All the Way.
Mm-hmm.
We do every year because it's so stupid.
I've been meaning to watch that this year. Yeah, it's been a long time.
I love it because it's just, and like, I've seen it a lot of times now. And I'm always just astonished by it because Schwarzenegger's performance first of all is, I think, the worst of his career. Like he's never more awkward or out of place than he is in this movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
He can't say any of the dialogue, and I feel like he didn't. Athena and I were trying to figure out like what's wrong here. And it's like,
yeah.
I think he was just too famous at this point and just like rolled in and was like, whatever. Because like even some of the things he says is like, no one wrote the line like that.
Yeah,
there's no
you're
way.
Just saying
like,
it
you
that
said
way.
That wrong. But that's like the only take they could get because you were busy doing something else. And his character, like you can't root for him because he's just a piece. He's a terrible dad.
Yeah.
He's a terrible husband. And then he's out in the world and you're like, and he's a terrible person.
Yeah.
And then Sinbad's there too. And he's also awful. He is mentally unbalanced. He's incredibly dangerous and unpredictable. And the only thing is like, I hope that Phil Hartman bangs Schwarzenegger's wife because at least he's home making cookies.
Yeah.
It's such a weird movie, but I watch it every year because it's hilarious. Mm-hmm. It's just Christmas out of control. It's a Christmas movie that has no understanding of the spirit of the season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't quite understand what the point of the movie is, or he doesn't really learn anything at the end. And the only like real moment he has with his son is where he's bribing his emotions with gifts. And it's literally the only time.
Yeah.
Other than that, he just either yells at him or ignores him or has no idea what's going on with his life or does really, really awkward karate in front of him.
Yeah, it's called being a dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But every year, I will watch it again next year and also be confused.
And then
it's a Christmas miracle.
Follow it up with Jingle All the Way 2.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Because I've had to.
Yeah. Well, I won't be doing
oh,
that.
God. I forgot about that. Isn't that Larry the Cable Guy?
Yeah, sure is. Yeah. No, every year I will watch Jingle All the Way and not Medea Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Medea Christmas is a
so good.
It's a more quality movie
than
Jingle All the Way. Yeah. Did you watch it, Casey? Have you seen Medea Christmas yet?
Not yet.
You
I'm
know,
saving
all,
it for it. Christmas morning.
It's all I want for Christmas. Please, please, please.
Gonna wake up the kids early.
Come on, sit down.
Don't you touch that tree.
Not until we've watched Medea.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You have to watch it. You have to.
You gotta.
For the people, for the listeners, yeah. It's necessary. That's so necessary.
It's not Christmas until
you watched Home Alone.
Yeah. People need something to look forward to after. We won't be back with another episode until after New Year's.
Yeah.
People need something to be excited about in the New Year. Casey watched Madea. That's what they need.
The people are clamoring.
They are. I guarantee you they will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay, well then let's get into Film Roulette. Film Roulette is our segment where the three of us roll a die and the two higher rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, some movie I'd never heard of that probably is not getting good reviews. So
I think I
dodged a bullet on this one, actually.
You heard of Spider-Man, though, right?
Yeah. Spider-Man?
Spider-Man,
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Gary Spider-Man.
And the low roller has to go see something terrible or watch something at home terrible, like I did. And the loser gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. And then we roll for movies next week.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, directed by Bob Parachetti, Peter Ramsey, and others, according to IMDb, and starring a number of people, tons of people.
Huge cast.
Lily Tomlin's in this thing, Jake Johnson, Haley Steinfeld, lots of people. John Mulaney, Nicolas Cage.
Chris Pine,
yeah. Lee Schreiber. So tons of movie people are in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Lord.
good sentence, Dan.
Phil Lord wrote it, and story by credit amongst many other people. Mm-hmm.
Yepers.
So it sucked. Okay, then we'll move on.
Yeah, that's about it. It's not the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen.
Fucking guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the best superhero movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It looks so
good. I couldn't stop thinking about it for days. I walked out on such a huge high. I had an extra boost in it because we took Zoe.
Oh, yeah.
To the theater.
I saw that Facebook update.
She sat through the whole thing. She watched. She ate popcorn. She had to go to take a dump in the middle, but that's okay. I was just glad she took a dump.
I don't know why you had to say it like that. Is that the terminology you use with your daughter? Daddy, I have to go take a dump.
No, it's poo-poo.
Daddy, I have to dump out.
She has to go poo-poo. She went and took poo-poo. Athena was amazing and handled the bathroom breaks so I could see all the movie to review it. Mm-hmm. So it was extra special. But aside from all of that, visually...
It is fucking... beautiful.
Holy hell.
It's like and I don't want to get too like hyperbolic about it or whatever, but like I'm just like, I really hope this movie ushers in a new era of animation.
Yes.
Because like, you know how there was like hand-drawn animation for the longest time and then computer animation, now every movie is computer animated kind of thing. I hope this becomes the standard.
This has to be the template now.
And
more of these, please.
Good Lord, it's fucking beautiful.
Every scene was visually captivating. Yeah. Every scene, even when there isn't superhero shit happening. The design, the direction, the look, the feel of the environment, all of it was just so realized and unique. I've never seen anything that looks exactly like this.
But also very that's kind of visually. The movie is also very emotionally resonant.
Oh yeah.
Without being overwrought. Like there's certain things that happen. And I don't want to give away anything about it because plot wise it's fucking wonderful.
Oh yeah.
But it really in very simple ways makes you feel for the characters.
Yeah.
And again, it doesn't overstate itself or anything. It takes fun little pokes at the other Spider-Man movies
in the best
every once
way.
In a while.
Oh, they were so well handled.
Yeah, and everybody is fucking top notch.
Oh fuck.
And I have such a soft spot in my heart for Spider-Ham. I love Spider-Ham so much. Yeah. And to have John Mulaney playing Spider-Ham.
I can't think of anything better.
Yeah. Just fucking wonderful. Nick Cage is fucking fantastic.
He's great. Yeah. And I really liked Chris Pine a lot.
I can't remember who Chris Pine was.
Chris Pine is, well, we all know there's a lot of Spider-Man in this movie, right? Chris Pine's the first Spider-Man.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
Yeah.
And Jake Johnson
fucking
amazing.
I've always loved Jake Johnson.
Yeah, he's great. But
he was
good
fantastic
God, I cannot say enough good things about his performance.
Yeah.
Superb. Just superb. And this movie is super fucking funny. Super
really
funny.
I mean, it's Phil Lord. Like,
yeah.
The IMDb credits only Phil Lord and not Chris Miller, which is weird. I feel like Chris Miller had something to do with it.
I thought I saw his name up there, but maybe I just,
Yeah.
But it never has jokes that, at the expense of the plot or the story or the characters, that take you out of the world they're creating. They're so well-timed, they're well-thought-out, they're really crafty jokes, and they're in a wide variety of comedy styles.
Yeah.
You know?
Holy shit, guys. There's people in this movie that I didn't even fucking... Also, Yorma Taccone was
Goblin.
Was the Green Goblin?
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
And also, one thing that really got me was the Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah.
Oh, that actually made me a little bit emotional.
Me too. And then at the end, because Steve Ditko died this year too.
Did he really?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year.
It's sad that we don't know that.
Yeah. And obviously, Spider-Man was created by Stan Lee and Steve Ditko. Mm-hmm. Steve Ditko, his illustration style, basically the template of all comics as you know them. He really elevated the how comics work, action in them, perspective. He changed everything. And them collaborating together with Spider-Man. When Stan Lee died, there were all these great artistic tributes. And a lot of them had to do with Spider-Man. Stanley created all these characters. Mm-hmm. But the one that I think is most maybe connected to him, that we connect alongside him, is Spider-Man. But for a lot of reasons, too, is because Spider-Man, I think what this movie sells really well is just how much we all want to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, all the characters are great. Like, Hulk is awesome, Iron Man, Captain America, Wolverine, whatever the fuck. But we all the joy that you always... all the Spider-Man movies have gotten down the... how awesome it is to be Spider-Man. Yeah. That's there. And this movie does it really well, too.
Yeah.
And there's something in us that relates to Spider-Man and having all these different people be Spider-Man. And you're not sided with any one of them because you accept it because we all want to be Spider-Man. Having that, see this kind of movie and that sort of example of all of these people are Spider-Man. We're all just who you are makes you Spider-Man. And to have that kind of is a nice little tribute with Stan Lee in there having his last... recorded performance was for this movie, and then have it's him and Ditko in the same year, and it was crazy at the end of this year to have this movie, this wonderful design and tribute and creative explosion for Spider-Man in this year is nuts. I'm rambling quite a bit, but anyway.
But no, it's such a beautiful cap to the whole, and obviously Marvel movies will go on.
Yeah,
money is to be made, this really feels like a quite a beautiful tribute.
Yeah. What an achievement of the character, this thing that he came up with to have it go this far, and you even see pages of the first Spider-Man story, the Ditko illustration and Stan Lee writing. They have pages from the comic in this movie, which is great. It's all there. Yeah, what a fucking movie.
And fun little, because like it's an alternate universe kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think we know that as well, right? That's not spoiling anything.
No.
A lot of billboards. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have seen any stills of any of the billboards, but there's a couple really fun billboards. One being a billboard for a movie called From Dusk Till Shawn, and it's a sequel to Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, wow.
And that's really cool. And then also, I don't know if you guys saw perhaps the most exciting, which was a billboard for Clone High. A Clone High reboot.
Oh, no.
Like Clone High College.
Oh, my God.
Please.
Age kind of thing.
Oh, please.
And it's simply, like, the billboard is just Abe and JFK's heads. Like,
oh,
it's just
fuck.
A picture of them.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, God, please don't make this just like a fun little joke. Please,
yeah.
Please let this happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we've talked so
what
much about this movie.
What are you talking about, bald nerd?
We're watching that now.
We talked so much about this movie, and we still haven't even talked about the main character, Miles Morales.
Oh.
Played brilliantly by Shameik Moore.
Who is Shameik Moore? Why do I know him?
Dope.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Fuck yeah. He's in a bunch of other stuff, too, but Dope particularly.
Yeah,
which
I love that.
Oh, boy, is that a good movie. And Miles Morales, man, what a impossible... scenario for this to work out, because Marvel did this thing like 12, 15 years ago where they started the Ultimates line. That's where you get the different version of Nick Fury where that Sam Jackson plays, and where they started to, they were like, let's have an alternate universe where we can rewrite some stuff, and we need to shake it up because we've been writing the same story for fucking 50 years, and let's have some fun. And so they had an Ultimate Spider-Man run going by Brian Bendis. I don't remember if he did the entire thing. But they decided, well, we can do anything we want here, so let's switch it up. And so they kill Peter. And so Spider-Man dies, but there's this other kid who half black, half Hispanic, and he is the next Spider-Man. And it was a really like crazy thing to do, like, you know, that's a big character, and then to like, you know, switch it up so hard. But they had this great fucking design of a character who has a cool story as like who he is as a person, but then this fucking dynamite design on the Spider-Man costume, and he's got slightly different things. His powers are a little bit different, which is cool. He's got the venom sting, you know. But he just resonated with people again. Like Spider-Man has it's something about what the character represents, you know, and it really resonates with people. It doesn't have to be Peter, although we like Peter. And Miles became like a huge thing, and even to a point of people wondering if then when Marvel got the rights to Spider-Man, if they were going to do a Peter Parker, or if they're going to do Miles.
Imagine
it's a kind of a lost opportunity, isn't it? You know, but
yeah,
at the same time, I'm glad
really
we got this movie.
Is.
Yeah.
Because like, imagine how much that would open. Like, I mean, everybody's seen the Peter Parker. And yeah, I love Peter Parker. I've loved Peter Parker since I was a kid. But it just would have subverted the whole, oh, it's this origin story. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not like the origin story is that much different or anything.
No.
I mean, it follows the same lines kind of thing, but it just would have opened up so much more. And that was the thing that I loved so much about this portrayal of the Spider-Man origin story or just like the temperament of who Spider-Man is and the duality of Spider-Man as just a person, because it was so like he's Miles Morales. And I don't know that much from Miles Morales. Like, I don't really know that much from those comics, but he just played so much of what you always wanted to, like why you always wanted to be Peter Parker / Spider-Man, because he's just this like kind of fun, funny little nerdy guy. Like he's just like a fun little kind of alternatively cool kind of like little silly guy who's like coming to terms with the fact that he's becoming more powerful than he can kind of deal with at the time. Yeah. And I just felt like that line was tread so fucking beautifully in this movie.
Yeah.
I want so many more of this.
Yeah. And I cannot wait to see this again. I'm going to the theater
Absolutely.
To see this again, 100%. Yeah. I never have time to do that, but I'm going to make a time for this one. Because, boy, is it something. What a great time. And they just started a new, I can't remember who's writing it. But there's a new Miles Morales Spider-Man series that it just launched. Perfect timing. At least I don't know who's writing it, but the artist doing this comic series is Javier Guerron, who's amazing.
Yeah,
so fucking really, and he's done a bunch of Spider-Man in the past, and he's got a great design of the character, like with the movement and kind of a unique touch, which you need when you draw Spider-Man, any Spider-Man. And so it looks great. I saw some of the art from the first issue. It looks awesome. So if you're interested in more Miles, there's a lot out there.
Yeah, I might actually get into that. Like,
it's pretty
feel
good,
like,
man.
This is. I will say, I think this is one of my favorite movies of the year.
I'm gonna have to sit down. Actually, I can't remember what happened in any year anymore. But like right now, I'm like, I don't know what I liked more than this in a year. You know, like I came out like on fire from this movie.
It's so great in so many ways.
So many ways.
And it has Spider-Ham.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter Porker.
It can get weird.
My hand is wet. I just washed my hands. And that is the reason.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, Dan.
Listen, guys. You said that's the best movie you've seen all year.
Yeah.
But Mrs. Claus came out in 2018, so...
Oh, see, I have
might
to
want to hold
judgment.
Your breath on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take my daughter to that, too.
Yeah, well, absolutely. How do you follow up into the Spider-Verse?
I know.
This movie already has a huge strike against it for me, though.
Why?
Because it's not about real Mrs. Claus.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Is it like a Silent Night, Deadly Night? It's not about a murdering. That poster would have you believe that Santa Claus is like, fuck this.
You know what?
I'm murdering.
Switching it up a little this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So directed by Troy Escamilla and starring a bunch of people who you don't know, but also Brink Stevens. And Helen Udi, who was in My Bloody Valentine and some other horror movies. So they got two names from the horror, from some notable horror movies. Okay. This movie, the IMDb description is: a group of college students attending a Christmas party at a sorority house that has a sinister past are stalked by a bloodthirsty killer disguised as Mrs. Claus. Okay. So the movie begins, as many slashers do, with the kind of thing where, you know, we get that sort of establishing thing that happens that's going to set some killer off, right? So the beginning of the movie is there's these sorority girls and they're initiating another girl and they like are hazing her and they take it too far. And what they make her do is they make her shove her face into a toilet. And then they make her, like, sit on a dildo and, like...
Whoa.
It gets pretty... Yeah. And they're all, like, watching her and, like, laughing at her, and it's, like, terrible.
Uh-huh.
And so she is super upset, obviously, because she's just been assaulted by these by these sorority girls. So we cut to...
Is that played for...
It's played seriously. It's not for laughs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's... something.
It's pretty uncomfortable to open your movie with. And then we cut to like a Christmas like gift exchange with the sorority girls, and the main like mean bitch girl who like instigated all the hazing gives the girl who was assaulted a gift, and she opens it up and it's that dildo, and everyone's like,
wow, there's a lot of dildo action in the first five minutes of this movie.
Sounds like the alternate title of this movie could be called Mean Dildo.
Yeah, and so, well, a dildo's not the mean, it's a girl that's mean.
You're right. You know what?
Mean girl with dildo.
You're right. I don't mean to dildo shame here.
Yeah. Mean girl who has a dildo.
You're right.
A dildo is not the issue here, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the wielder.
You're focusing on the dildo. You're missing the whole point.
Yeah. So
it's always been my problem.
The woman who was hazed, she snaps and she goes into the sorority girl's room and murders her to death. And
to death.
Does any of the murder involve the dildo?
No.
Dan, feel like You should have fucking
no,
caught
I think, I'm pretty sure it's just a knife. I'm pretty sure it was just a knife.
Pretty sure.
Oh, wait. No, I think she shoves it in her mouth and then murders her with a knife.
There you go.
That's why I went, oh. Ugh. Yeah.
Thank God.
So then she goes outside and hangs herself to death.
I don't know. All of these things happening
to
right to death.
Yeah.
They have to go right to death with this thing.
So she's a zombie?
No. That would be fun.
Because the cover of this movie would have me believe that she's a zombie skin lady with glowing red eyes.
Would you
eyes.
Believe the low-budget horror movie cover lied to you?
I'm shocked and dismayed.
So then we cut to the future. And it's Jetson time.
3047.
Yeah. Mrs. Claus. Beep, boop, boop. I'm here to terminate you.
To death.
To death. No, we can't.
Behold our future dildo.
Yeah.
Behold the Dildotron 3000.
It's a couple years later, I believe, or a year or two later, and the sister of the mean sorority girl who was murdered to death because she was a bitch and hazed somebody way too hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So her sister is like, I'm going to pledge this sorority because I don't know why. They're like, I thought it was a good idea at the time because it would maybe be let me be closer to my sister even though she's gone. And everyone in the movie is like, that's a dumb thing that you did. You're dumb.
Like, I just need a place to get drunk.
Yeah. So she is at the sorority now, and there's a bunch of other people in the movie, and they just seem like the kind of people that everybody in this movie that aren't those two people that have names are the kind of like, I was in the drama part of my school, you know, like it's just like the best actor in your high school. Like, it's that kind of like acting.
Oh, I do love
like,
that
it's
so
not
much.
Like, it's not the worst thing ever, but you're like, you're trying.
Yeah.
There's something beautiful
about
that.
It's
about
pretty
the person
beautiful.
Who basically has no charisma, but knows all the moves
that
human beings do.
Yeah. And like, maybe one of them could someday, you know, be a good actor, but like right now it's like you're your best high school actor kind of actor. So there's a lot of that, which is great. And it's also one of those movies where like every set is just like, hey, this is a room, okay, let's shoot here. You know, it's just like, it's like, you know, your friend's house from, you know, your friend in high school had a house,
but
and we shot there.
I wish there was more of that in bad movies.
Yeah.
You know, they're
so it doesn't look like things have been dressed. Like
too many people went to film school now, and now bad movies aren't as entertaining.
Well, this movie's not very entertaining.
Well, fair enough.
You think it might be pretty funny because there's some funny line readings and stuff, but basically it just becomes a movie.
But imagine
where
how much worse it would have been if everything just looked slick and like a movie.
And that's the same thing for the direction of this movie is just very, like, I think the most stylish thing that they did in the entire movie was like, oh, we'll do one canted angle here. We'll do a Dutch angle once.
Little do you know, it was just because the camera was just on a rock. So it was an accidental Dutch angle.
That's a heavy rock.
Whatever.
Just put it here.
Yeah.
They were very Canadian when they made this movie.
I'll just put her here, eh?
Oh, you're done, eh? Oh, you're done, Mrs. Claus.
Yeah, so it becomes...
Take off, eh?
Take off, Miss Claus.
Miss Claus, more like Miss Hoser, am I right? Beer and cigarettes and whatnot.
Oh, beauty.
Beauty.
So it just becomes somebody in a weird-looking Mrs. Claus mask is killing people. And at the beginning of the movie, the mother of the girl who was hazed comes over to the house and is like, ah, you people, you killed my daughter, your sister killed my daughter, I'll have you, or whatever. And then you're like, this is the fucking clearly only person with a motive, and it's never brought up again. So the whole movie you're like, I wonder who could be the killer.
Oh, is she the killer? Because I thought that was a tasty misdirect.
Yeah. No, she ends up being a killer, but then they do a little
Scooby-Doo
twist where it's like the police officer who's been in the whole movie, played by Brink Stevens, is like on their side trying to figure out what's going on, and then right at the end of the movie has you know, the mother who's taking the mask off and is the killer, has her at gunpoint, but then like turns on the kids and shoots them. It's like, we're actually sisters and we're doing it together.
Wow.
And then she kills her other sister and she's like, now I'm the one. And you're like, okay, I guess. I don't know.
You're like, now you're the what?
Yeah. I was like, why?
Do you get all the treasure now?
Yeah. I wanted to wear the Santa Claus thing.
You never let me wear the mask of Mrs. Claus. Yeah. I always have to be the policeman.
Yeah. So,
I don't want to be.
The gist of this movie is for the first. After the hazing stuff and you get into the shitty slasher plot, there's a couple kills and the gore is like pretty well done.
Nice.
But they like linger on it far too long. Yep. Like it's like somebody gets like stabbed in the throat and there's like the most amount of blood coming out of it. And you're like, okay, this is pretty like somebody did the effects. Like it's not just like didn't spray it on her. And like,
that's good. That's fun.
Yeah. There's a couple kills that look pretty good, but then it's just like cut to the spurt, cut to a face, cut to the knife, cut to the blood. And it just keeps going back and around and around. You're like,
clock.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Like,
time passes
like way too long. Yeah. And so that kills any kind of fun with the kills. You're just looking at, it's almost just like, look at the effects. We can't waste them.
Yeah.
We did them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to see them a bunch.
That's all we got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in the like, 20 minutes into the movie, the most boring party ever happens where like 6 people just sit in a room like this and talk.
Oh, I've been to that party.
It's the worst. It's so boring.
Guys, that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but
heads up.
Nobody's dead.
Way more fun.
Yet.
Yeah. So that sucks and sucks the whole energy out of the movie. You want it to have that kind of like, like fun, shitty slasher hangout vibe, but it's just a bunch of dumb nobodies hanging out in a room with no dialogue to speak of, fucking killing time in between kills that last too long and linger too long, and you don't give a shit about anything that's happening. Like the scenes are literally just like, they're in the couch and they're talking about some bullshit. Somebody leaves. They get killed. We go back to the room. Mm-hmm. Where's that person? We got to find them. Let's look around.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't find them. Let's go back to that room. I'm going to go over here. They get killed. Where'd they go? We got to find them.
Oh, over there.
That's all it is. It's just people fucking walking around. It's so boring.
Yeah.
I love the idea of everybody's in one room and the one person goes, I got to go over there for a second.
Yeah.
Where'd they go? They said they were just going over there. Oh, this is weird. I'm going to go over there now.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. Where'd they go?
Yeah.
Over there.
Yeah. It's terrible. It was terrible.
Great.
It was really hard to get through.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
So Mrs. Claus is terrible, and don't be fooled by that cover. It makes it look like it might be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, speaking of great experiences, we listened to an album.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
By the 1975. What's the name of this album?
Something about online dating.
Yeah. A brief
history of online dating.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
A brief inquiry into online dating or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see here. Albums.
Mm-hmm.
A brief inquiry into online relationships.
There you go.
So that's the thing about this album is I keep seeing it on year-end lists.
A lot of critical acclaim.
And like Pitchfork had best new music and there's lots of lists with it on it.
Yep.
And I didn't understand it. And
did you listen to
it? I gave it to you guys, and I did dip my toes a little bit into the first couple songs.
Yeah, I'd heard a bit before you gave it to us.
I don't want to tell you what I dipped into those songs.
Yeah. Yeah, so
dildo.
It was a huge dildo.
Yeah.
Murder dildo.
So I at least understood what you guys were in for a little.
Yeah.
I got the texture of it.
Yeah.
And when I heard what I heard of it, I went, bleh.
Yeah.
And I spit it back out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That was all right.
So, and now I was just excited for you guys to tell me what's going on here. Why is it so critically acclaimed? Is there something going on here?
I will tell you why it is so critically acclaimed. Because at a lot of points in this album, the production is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
There's a main guy.
Yeah.
And he sucks.
Yeah. There is the music at points. I was like, this is interesting.
At the point, I was like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I kept trying to get into it, but I couldn't because of the guy.
That guy sucks.
And it's, and I couldn't do more than three songs at a time.
Okay.
It took me a long time to get through this fucking album. I kept on having to stop because it was like, there's like this poppy, really prevalent, it's a pop album.
Yeah.
And it's really poppy. It's really like sugary poppy a lot of times. But like super, like I felt like I was being given dating advice by a bag of candy, you know,
by a bag of black jelly beans.
I didn't like any. I had a lot of trouble with this album. There's things in there that
it's like
if this guy would shut up.
It's like if you had. Like the most delicious cake that you, well, not the most delicious cake.
It's a jelly beans, delicious man. Cake. All the other flavors make sense, and there's just one thing in there. Like, why is this here?
I'm trying to make a cake. I'm trying to make it again.
I feel like we've established our food metaphor for the episode.
I realize, but you're like, you are so insistent. No, it's jelly beans.
it's like a cake.
Oh, God, shut up. We're doing jelly beans.
It's like a layered cake. No.
We've chosen jelly beans. We're doing jelly. Why are you doing cake?
Why don't you understand how this works? It makes total sense.
It's not cake. It's jelly beans.
I gotta keep going down the cake road. I think I'll get there.
I'm curious about the cake now. What's in the cake?
No, it's jelly beans.
Now we've reversed it. I love this cake or jelly beans corner of the episode.
Yeah. Hey, that's our new segment. Cake or jelly beans. Yeah. You be the judge. That's how we judge every album from now on.
Cake or jelly beans.
This album, cake or jelly beans.
Are the vocals and lyrics as bad as the titles of the songs?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
The Man Who Married a Robot / Love Theme. I Always Want to Die / Sometimes.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. No, yeah, it's terrible.
It's like this guy collaborated with the Panic at the Disco guy. I was like, do you have any other stupid song titles you could lend me?
Is there anything to this out? Like, I keep seeing it on those lists as in, like, you know, like for millennials, I guess there's like insight or this is like this really gets at something.
No, this is much like Panic at the Disco. This is all flash and no substance.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like. Like a precocious fucking, you know, 20-year-old who's very clever, who's the Oscar Wilde of his time, but just comes up with some half-assed wordplay and nonsense. Yeah. It is some bullshit. That main guy is just atrocious, I think. Yeah. But again, there was moments of music on this album where I was kind of like, this is really
super
cool.
Super interesting.
The production itself specifically, like this collection of sounds together is emotionally resonant.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And again, whoever produced this album did a fucking bang up job. But then this guy keeps coming in with all this fucking... And the cadence of his voice and the timbre of his voice.
It's like you're at a show and there's this great music playing and you're trying to focus on it, but there's this really irritating teenager who thinks he's super smart standing next to you telling his friend about life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like really jelly loud, beans. Though.
Yeah. Yeah. Or cake?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, it really does feel like that. It feels like there's kind of cool music going on and then a fucking idiot every once in a while. That's not fair. I don't know this guy. That's so mean. I'm fucking
this is the
so
regret after eating
this.
Too many jelly beans kicking in.
I got a tummy ache of meanness.
Yeah.
But But again, like I can't say I had a fucking terrible time listening to this because every once in a while I'm like, oh, what a wonderful, like, how do you do that?
Man, 2018 was such a big year. There's so much good music. So this, like, this is not even near the conversation, you know?
No.
Like, yeah, before we started recording, Dan and I were talking about this band called Shame.
Yeah.
And their album, it's their debut album, and it deals with a lot of, like, you know, not, I don't want to say it deals with issues of today, but it does.
Yeah.
But in a really organic, natural way with some actual insight, and I felt like I understood people 20 years younger than me a bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, it's thoughtful, it's witty and clear, and like, if you want to know what people are younger actually thinking about, I feel like go listen to that album instead, you know, because it's so good. It's the best album of the year. It's amazing.
Nice.
Sweet. Yeah.
So
fuck this album.
I feel like I've got some more insight into them.
There you
I
go.
I understand it a bit more.
You are welcome.
Jelly beans.
Jelly beans. Solid bag of jelly beans.
Yeah, bag of jelly beans. So, Punishment album time again.
Yeah.
You guys are going to have some time to spend with it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm not going to get into it too much. I'm just going to give you something. I'm not going to tell you if I like it or dislike it. And okay. I'm just going to let it sit with you guys over the break.
Okay.
I'm giving you an album by an act called Birthmark. And the album is called Antibodies. And that's it. Check it out. We'll talk about it next episode.
My Spotify as we speak.
So there you go.
Birthmark.
Yep. What's it called? I literally was about to be like, sorry, what's it called? Jelly beans?
Antibodies is the album.
Antibodies.
Okay. Yeah. Birthmark is the act. Yes.
They have three albums.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. I don't know why.
Listen, either have
downloaded.
Yeah. Cool. So next week we're going to see some movies. And we're going to roll for those movies.
Yeah, winner's choice, because we got some time over the break.
Yeah.
And there's Aquaman.
Yeah, I kind of want to see Aquaman.
I want to see Aquaman. The reviews are very good.
Yeah.
What's the album called again?
Antibodies.
Called Antibodies.
Oh, okay. So this is the right one. There's a couple things called Birthmark.
Yeah. And there's actually an album by this Birthmark on under some other Birthmark. It's one of those, like, fucking fix your shit Spotify or Google Play or whatever. The winner's choice over the break, because like I'll probably see something in theaters with my family, or
totally,
then I'll
totally.
Go like another time and see
and,
something
and there's a couple, there's Aquaman, there's Bumblebee, there's Holmes and Watson, there's things to see. People see a bunch of them.
Were you about to like sneeze or something? Or
no, Dan, I know what this is now, because Google Play gives you related artists.
Hey, shut the fuck up and just take it with you.
No.
Shut up.
Spotify also gives related artists.
Yeah.
It's not related in the way that you think.
It's for people who also like Joan of Arc. So
yeah.
I think it's going to suck.
I feel like if it sucks in one way, it's going to suck in another way. That way it's going to still
suck. I'm not telling
you
anything about this.
All right. Maybe I love it.
You turds. Yeah. When you gave me that face, I was like, maybe I'll go see some with my family.
Oh.
And I thought you were like,
huh? Oh,
your
gross.
Family. Gross.
Oh, I see. It's a family thing. I see what's going on here. Who knows?
Okay. I will not reveal what I know.
Well, whatever.
Yep. I was hoping you would listen to it without that in your mind.
Sure.
See what
I would have,
happen.
But Casey ruined it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Google Play ruined it. How am I going to look at that and not fucking comment on it? You know me. I'm mean.
Yeah.
It's also fucking mean.
Yeah,
so mean-spirited.
Winner's choice. Yeah, it'll be great. We'll
and
see whatever.
Loser,
we another holiday-related film.
That's right.
Yeah,
but also a mixture of themes that we enjoy.
Yeah,
a shark movie and
a
Christmas movie.
Love a good shark movie.
Santa Jaws is the name of this motion picture.
Yeah,
so good.
Like Santa Claus,
but Jaws.
Right. Right.
But with a magic pen shark.
You see, it rhymes.
Magic pen shark.
So let me read the synopsis for everyone. Because, interesting. Should I read both of them? Because the first one, like, sets you up. And then the first synopsis you would see, short, Trying to survive the family Christmas, Cody makes a wish to be alone, which ends up backfiring when a shark manifests and kills his entire family. Period.
Yeah.
That's your main synopsis. Movie. Very nice. The more detailed one, also exciting. Cody is an aspiring comic book artist who happens to be gifted a pen which changes reality. This also changed my view of the film.
Yeah.
As he first draws Santa Jaws, making it come to life as Cody's family and friends are picked off, first no one believes him, but soon his remaining family and friends find out it's a true race to battle for survival. It's true, and race to battle for survival.
We got to get to this battle.
Yeah.
Guys, we're late quick. We're late for the battle.
There's a survival battle. They race to battle for survival.
And we are late for it.
Who will win?
Yeah.
Question mark, exclamation point.
He's got a great poster with a little animated shark and
he's got a little hat on.
Christmas hat.
Good deal.
This
can have the hat. Is the hat going to be on the fin of the movie?
So. How else God do we know that it's Santa be. Jaws? It could just be any other shark.
Yeah. Any other magic pen shark. The thing I love about this movie is it's a pretty fantastical premise.
Yeah.
Yo, the hat is on the fin.
Nice.
Holy shit. Whoa.
My hat is like a shark's fin.
Oh, no. I want to see this movie.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures.
Like, what can the budget be for this movie?
I don't know, but the
photos on IMDb seem like it could be.
The shark appears to have a unicorn horn that's made out of candy cane on his head, too.
Oh, because God,
and he seems to stab people with it.
All right, we all just see this movie. How about that?
I would do that.
Oh, is it the holiday? Listen, it's the season of giving.
Season of giving. Are we going to
watch? Where are we all just going to watch this
let's
movie
all just
and
watch
something?
It.
I need to watch this now.
Okay. Yeah, let's all just watch Santa.
Okay. Holy shit. Okay, sold.
Santa Shark? Sharka Claws?
Sharka Claws would have been good.
Why did they call it Sharka Claws?
Sharka
Claws. Fucking idiots.
Santa Jaws is good, too.
Or even Sharka Jaws. I don't care what you want to do.
Sharka Jaws!
Sharka Jaws!
That's so far
that
off
gets,
the premise.
Yeah, that gets away from Christmas.
So far away from the fucking...
Sharka Jaws.
Sharka Jaws. Why does he have a Santa hat on? If he's Sharka Jaws.
Is this about Chaka Khan?
I was thinking that too.
Sharka Jaws.
What if Chaka Khan was a shark?
This Sharka Jaws is like that guy in the dorm who like would wear a Santa hat any time of the year. Doesn't need a reason.
Oh, fuck.
Sweet.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know if you guys found images, but can I show you?
Yes.
What changed my life?
The thing I'm... Oh, okay. Stabbing somebody with
the... He's wearing a little hat on his fin, and he's got a candy cane spear on his head.
Yeah,
that is the fucking...
And his eye is glowing like a
It's
Rudolph
funny because,
the...
like, I usually don't go for this, like, Sharknado, like, we'll put a... two dumb things together, but this is singing my language.
Good. This is a whole level of like they think they know what they're doing. Like they think that they're.
Well, I think this person, the director Misty Talley, has also directed as I
another
mentioned before
shark
we
film,
started
right?
recording. Misty Talley's also directed Mississippi River Sharks,
nice
Ozark Sharks,
nice.
Shark Island,
nice.
Which could have easily been called O-Sharks, by the way.
come on. Yeah.
Don't worry,
pretty,
it's just a name.
Pretty.
What they meant is just a peninsula. great. All so right. We'll all watch that. And
Mississippi River Sharks, the tagline is, there's a new mouth in the river. That is clumsy. Wow.
Yeah. Well, we'll all watch that and whatever else we can on the break.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back after in the new year.
All right.
As always, follow us online.
Shark Island, her other film, is also known as Zombie Shark.
Okay.
I think we've talked about that before. I don't know how they know the shark's dead. Yeah. Wait a minute.
He was alive
once. Alive.
Fuck.
Shark B.
Yeah. Follow us on SYNWPC on Twitter and Facebook, and email us at info@modernsuperior.com. Hopefully you have a wonderful holiday. Watch Santa Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
I almost called it Chris, what was it?
Sharka Jaws.
Sharka Jaws.
Sharka Jaws.
Sharka Jaws.
Yeah.
Christmas Shark.
Yeah.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Oh, wonderful.
Is it really?
Amazing. Yeah. I have that. I'll watch
too.
It.
Yeah, me
wonderful.
Too.
Fucking A, there you go.
Yeah, watch it with us. Enjoy some eggnog with some rum.
Yes.
And spend jelly some beans. Time with your family.
Some jelly beans.
Yep.
Jelly beans.
No cake.
No cake.
Oh, that might be in my top five favorite moments of the show.
As always, fun. We will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, internet. No cake.
No cake. There's a shark eye at the end of my jaws.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.